Have
Everybody.
unlimited. Wait, somebody called in.
It's
Hello?
Melissa. Hello?
Hi, Melissa. Thank you. You
Okay,
are
I'm
the.
on a cell phone and I don't know how long it's going to work, but I'm going to try.
Thank you. We're going to get started because of you. Okay, you ready, Marvette? Just going to push a couple of buttons and we're up and running. Thank you for that extra effort. So, good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock, and it's still The American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. Every night, we just continue with this. Somebody was asking me if I was concerned because it was New Year's Eve, which it was pointed out to me that it was New Year's Eve.
Right.
And it just... You know what? I look at the calendar and there's dates and things like that, and they all have significance to people. But the significance for me, it's Wednesday night. That's when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
So the calendar, the particular date and the importance of that particular date pales in relation to this particular effort. The other day I was talking to, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to EJ, and I said, we were talking about the fact that he was doing at the time. I don't know if he still is. I haven't been able to get on in the mornings. Every morning, he was doing an hour or two. And then on the weekends, he'd do 2 hours each day then, every day. And then he taught a couple of classes in addition to that. Then I said to him, I said, wow, what a discipline. And he said, the discipline isn't hard. It's the doing of it that's hard.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Think about that one. And now, because back a couple of chambers ago when we read the four lines, and, you know, for me, I'm harping on this whole concept of, and my habits will carry me through. What habits? So for him, the discipline was just there because he decided he was going to do it, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a complex business,
yeah.
And I have clients, you know, it's, oh, well, yeah. Oh, let's meet on Wednesday, or why don't you do this? We're having this gathering, special gathering. Oh, I can't do it on Wednesday night. That's my habitual response. I don't have to look at my calendar to see or be reminded of it.
Are you suggesting that EJ has a habit also? He has a habit of being disciplined. And we're just saying if he decides something, then that's it. He's decided it. He carries it out. Is that what you're referring to? Or?
Well, I'm referring to it. What we're referring to in this class is how do we develop ways and means to be better voyagers to the point where we are adequate voyagers. And then later, much, much later, we can become good voyagers or better voyagers. And it happens because of habits, and we, a very small group of us, we have found ourselves in this situation. Ivan was saying, oh, well, let's reflect on 2014. And I say, let's reflect on the situation that you've found yourself in. And the situation you found yourself in is surrounded by friends of the work. Now, this particular chamber is chamber 39, Ivan.
Right.
And it's a spectacular chamber. It's one that Pat and I have discussed for 20 years now. It's a very short chamber. It's almost as if the author, and by the way, at this point, the author has left the security blanket of the traditionally written Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Tibetan Book of the Dead ended a while ago when it's just over. And now, so this particular author in this particular offering continues to give instruction in the classical, what we term the 49 days. I don't know if you heard, Ivan, were you here last week?
No, I wasn't. I missed Christmas Eve.
You've missed Christmas Eve?
Yes.
And I posed a question to Pat. The class went over, and she just was there. I didn't want to even bring it up, but she kept kind of like sitting there. So I'm sitting there on the phone with Simon Templar, and
mm-hmm.
he says, you know, I kind of like, this whole talk of reading for his mother came up, and has come up two other people of identical questions, but they've been dead 10 years, 15 years, and it's fresh in their mind to want to read for their mother. So, many years ago, when my sister died, several years ago, mentioned something to EJ, and I said, sometimes I get the only people that I, kind of embarrassing in a certain way, that I mark in terms of people that have died in my life are my sister, my older sister, and Mary Craigie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, every once in a while she bleeds through. Now there's another couple of people too. But I said that to him, and he says, yeah, well, that's how it works. That's how the parallel worlds work. So I considered this question, how do I read for my mother?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't read for when she died. But what if I wanted to read for my sister? And I was too emotional to read for about a week. And I knew there were other very competent individuals reading for her. What if I wanted to read for my sister? What if that came up again? Because somebody is coming up again. So what would I do? Well, how did it work? Because it says 49 days, Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, did you address this question last week?
No,
I
posed the question.
Okay.
I posed it to Pat, and I said that she had to answer tonight. And
oh.
She said she was, now she's not coming, that you were going to be answering the question for us. So I'm glad that you came,
so
Ivan.
You waited until now to tell me that I have to channel Pat? On New Year's Eve?
I thought you knew this part already.
Bartender, can I have a Tom Collins?
No.
All right, that's all right. Different party.
It's a different party. So all of this has to do with developing habits.
Right. Okay.
Okay. My habit is, you know, some people might say, well, why do you like to do that? You really like doing that show? Doesn't occur to me. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, sure.
Work like that.
No, I would like to say that actually, I think that was a good example that you gave from the conversation with EJ, because I think this is I probably have people listening may have heard me tell this story before, but I think that is one of the practices of our community in our school, is to be able to do something, whether there's any return, any feedback, any participation, any energy coming from anywhere else or not. The experience I had with that was when, at one time when I decided I would offer a public meeting, I rented a space and set up an evening. It was on a university campus at Tucson, at the University of Arizona. And since I rented the space and I said, and I advertised a meeting, I went there every week and I sat there for an hour. I actually, you know, turned on the lights and set up chairs, set up the space, and I prepare to have tea or, you know, whatever I might have wanted to serve people if they came. And most of the time, nobody came, but I did that. It's like I still warm the space according to my advertised.
You created the space.
According to my advertised schedule.
That's
yeah,
right.
I carved it out, let's say.
Absolutely.
I carry it. And what I attribute is, let's say, retrospectively, the few times when people showed up, you know, there were actually one or two occasions something remarkable happened. And, I mean, to me that was the outcome of the practice. You know,
well,
like for me,
you're forgetting that we can't hear you.
The visible people, yeah.
We can't
well,
hear you.
Well, see, in actuality, yeah.
Be right. More attentive
yeah.
to the people that are coming to this class.
Yes, my comment, observation to Ivan was that he was only registering the visible people. And my feeling was that he might have had throngs of people in the space who were not visible to him.
There's a thought, because it's, I don't know if I would have, let's say, if I would have sensed it, or maybe, you know, I might have not been capable of sensing that, if that was what was happening. But what I sensed is that this was a practice for me, because that was a meeting. But if I sat in silence for an hour, that was a meeting.
Well,
whether anybody else came or not.
And to even explode it a little bit more.
Yeah.
At the time, I know you didn't send out notices by email.
There weren't emails, no.
There were no emails.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
I doubt it.
No, it was the 70s.
And so you probably did a poster of some sort, right?
Yeah, I put notices in whatever weekly or monthly publications, yeah, and probably some notices on bulletin boards. It was a university campus.
So we don't know what the effect is of somebody that saw the poster, stopped, considered it, and then moved on. So that's the discipline that we can bring to the table, in a sense, the ability to do something like that.
Well, see, I'm resonating with, you know, I'm picking up on what you're saying about
right.
this meeting. It has a It's established in time and space.
Exactly.
It's an opening. It's a form of hospitality, and that's what. And I didn't even realize that when I started offering that meeting. I had no sense of that at all. But in retrospect, I realized that I benefited greatly from having offered hospitality. Whether even though I was mostly disappointed in that nobody came to my meetings.
your external.
But it was still a practice for me.
It was a practice
yeah.
for you. Your external
yeah.
was disappointed.
Yeah, I was. Whatever.
There you go.
I was keeping score. Yeah.
So,
the score was not good from that point. You know,
yeah, from that point of view. So let's see why this stuff is coming up in this particular chamber that we're assigned. That came around tonight. Chamber 39.
Okay, and if you want to talk about it, I mean, we could wait for Patricia, but I know an answer to this question that you brought up.
Well, then,
because I've been a reader. I've been trained as a labyrinth reader, and I've done readings.
I'll hear your answer.
Well, let me see if I can distill it, because it may not be. It's an answer. It may not be the same formulation that Pat would give, but okay. My understanding of reading for the 49 days is that it's addressing the voyager in the voyage, in the bardo, and that is not in time. That is not in this time track. So essentially, I could read for my mother, who died in 1975, I did read for her at that time, but I could repeat that reading. I could read now for her in 1975 when she passed. Or I can read I could read for her at any point. I could read for her for a point earlier in her life, let's say while she was going through cancer treatment prior to 1975. Okay, and then the other thing, this is cheating a little bit, but that I once was present at a talk, some kind of a group, a dinner or something, where the question came up with EJ present. What he advised somebody, and I won't name names here, but he actually told someone who was present who had experienced a trauma, I believe it was a automobile accident, and he said, oh, well, you know, don't you know, yeah, you were unconscious. The person told the whole story, oh, I was in traction, I was unconscious for days, I woke up in a hospital bed, and EJ said, well, you can read for yourself at that moment. You punch into the time track. The reading is timeless. It has no time. It has no. It's not confined. It's not restricted to this moment.
That's right.
Just because I'm reading it in this moment. So he basically said that you can repair the past. I could repair the past by reading for myself when I was experiencing a trauma in 1987 or 2002 or whatever. And what I'm doing is I'm addressing myself. I'm communicating. I'm reaching myself as a voyager, particularly if I had been like out of body, if I had been unconscious, if I were in some very stressful situation, which I didn't necessarily handle well. I can now go back. I can address my reading to that moment in the time track.
About 2 months ago or something, I think you were here for that class, and Pat was definitely here. I came in, I sat down, I said, we've made it to the future. And I don't know if you remember that at all.
Maybe.
Do you vaguely remember that? You remember it clearly. And I brought it up this following week.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I brought it up that night was because I had a clear and distinct memory of me in that voyaging space.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was reading for the voyager that had gone through that space.
Oh, I see. Okay, I get it. All right.
Okay. It was clear and distinct when I walked in the room that day. And that, so Ivan's telling us the answer to this mystery of how do I read for my mom or sister, whatever it is. Well, we're not in, it's not the same linear time. And this whole thing about 49 days,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean when you're not in the time continuum? It's a different mode altogether.
Yeah, well, it's also, again, it's like I'm not sure I can conceptualize the 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 dimensionality of it, but there's a reason that EJ has described these as the 49 chambers. They're 49 spaces. They're
49 chambers. Doesn't say the 39th
chambers.
Day. Says the 39th chamber.
What does it say?
Yeah, and I think most cultures have the concept of sacred time, you know, like with the, you know, you have the chronos, which is the linear, but then you have the kairos, which is sacred, you know, sacred time. And, you know, there's, EJ and Quan have also discussed the relationship between time and space, and it's more, we're more space than time.
Time is a function of space.
There you go. That's
maybe
sometime in the morning I'll wake up and actually understand that. I'll be looking forward to that day in the future. But anyway, I just had a visualization of it for you, which is it's like that phone booth in Doctor Who. What does he call it? The TARDIS. Well, the reading, you know what EJ said, you when you're setting up for a reading with your bell and your candle, water and a little bit of you're supposed to have a full altar. You have some rice, is it, or salt? Sorry, somebody help me out. about, you know, anyway, you have these accoutrements. You also set up, they're like the visualization points where you visualize the four points where they define the ceiling, like the walls. It's a encapsulated chamber. And, yeah, guess what? That thing,
A cube,
yeah.
And
that, that
you
thing
seal
is, you seal it off in order to do this reading because you're removing yourself from the time track that you're in, actually. And it's very similar, I think, to Doctor Who goes through these warps and all that thing. And that cube is able to travel. That cube is not confined, is not tied down to this moment in time.
So the other thing that I got from this question that was posed to me by three people in the last 2 weeks, same question, was that something has happened where the Voyager, maybe called their mother or their sister, was bleeding through now for those individuals. One individual, a female, was talking about reading for her mother. And I said, I think your mother had a great strategy because she couldn't make it to this school.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're ready to actually read to her.
Right.
And your mother's sitting there saying, okay, where'd you get this? No, I don't know how you got there. I don't know what happened,
mm-hmm.
but I need it now.
That sounds good.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when you get frightened by your altar and somebody's sitting there saying, kind of like wakes you up in the middle of the night, there's a reason for that. It actually is happening. There's actually bleed through. Because you are not a linear lump of clay all the time. Sometimes you're a Voyager as well. And as such, you're permeable. That's a good word.
Permeable.
That's a good one. It permeates.
Mm-hmm.
And in what's another better word than flexible?
Malleable.
You're malleable. You're
unformed.
You're unformed. but you're in motion. There's a motion caused by attentiveness. The attentiveness is your inner attention that comes out at those times, and then you're able to connect with others. We are in a continuum. You know, Harry's not on right now, but, you know, he was also adopted as I was. You know, if you think about it from a certain point of view, it's pretty weird. And I was adopted right from the hospital. It was arranged before I was born with the people. And I came right home. So that's how that strategy worked.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Well, right. It was like, okay, this is a family that was available.
I needed to be in that family, but I couldn't come through that womb.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
But made it happen nevertheless, somehow. So let's read the first part. Why don't you give Tamara the phone, Dan?
The first paragraph.
Read the very first part.
39th chamber. Even those individuals grimly holding on to the game of planetary existence.
So what I want to point out on that part of it that's so powerful is it's, once again, here's the map. Who is this chamber talking to again? So it's like, it's like a big megaphone saying, oh, those of you who are grimly, I love that.
Grimly.
I don't think he's ever used planetary.
He She didn't make it.
Okay. I also think he has not used planetary existence before.
Yeah.
Earlier in the text.
Yeah. So planetary existence, so there's grimly holding on. So it's like the bell rings and goes, okay, white team, green team, bing, 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 bing. Those grimly holding on to planetary existence.
All right, everybody still stuck in Escape from L.A., listen, please.
So all of you who are holding on to your planetary existence, raise your hand. Okay, go into room number B. Go ahead, Tamara.
You need to hit the green button again.
Okay, so can still be liberated, even here, if they will only listen to the emergency method of instruction for those below any hope of liberation.
So, you know, you've been, very few people that I know of have ever utilized like the emergency escape on a plane or the emergency supplies in your rented boat, or I carry emergency pack in the back of my car. And sometimes I go over to Reno and for a business meeting, I dress in business clothes or business shoes, and then I put in the back boots and weather clothes, because who knows what's going to happen, but I don't want to be walking through the snow. But I've never utilized them. They're there, but I've never had to utilize them. So right now, this instruction is saying what? You can be liberated now. Even you, Miss Grimly holding on.
Yeah, right.
And then so there's like this emergency packet that's handed to you. Oh, you said, oh, it's right here in this little box. It says emergency, what is it called? The emergency
method.
It's the emergency method. It's in a little box.
Emergency method, yeah.
And it's sitting right there, and you just have to use it, right?
Yeah, or it could be one of those levers that you pull on the wall, like
that's what I was thinking.
It's the emergency. Do not pull this lever except in emergency.
Except in emergency. So yes. Now the instruction is you are in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is pull the lever and grab your emergency pack. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, if you can.
Hit the green again.
We're trying very hard to.
It's technology is part of this planetary existence. That's the problem.
Hey.
Okay, if you guys are still on the other end, it says, I'll guide my thoughts along this path.
Oh, keep going.
I take refuge in the clear light. I take refuge in the beloved. I take refuge in the way of the teaching. I take refuge in the company of the brotherhood of spiritual souls.
So when I read this, I thought, wait a minute. Haven't you been telling us to not go and seek these hiding places in the last few chambers, something about that?
Yeah.
Right?
Right, but that was refuge in, like, the tree or the, the guard's hut. Or
the crack
cave,
in the rock.
A cave, you know.
So this is different?
I believe this is different, yes.
Why? Why is it different?
There's a difference between
Got it. You got it.
There's a difference between hiding and taking refuge.
Okay. What is that difference?
It's a conscious action.
It's not only is it a conscious action, you know what it's a strategy again, and you're saying, if I go to any of those, read them again, Ivan, the four things.
I take refuge in the clear light. I take refuge in the beloved. I take refuge in the way of the teaching. I take refuge in the company of the brotherhood of spiritual souls.
So you know that there is a safe space there. It's not an escape. Not an escape. You are heading towards something, not escaping from something. Fundamentally different. And of course, as I put in the email, you know, this is the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are, and you look at yourself, and you've got to say that you are who has to speak up? Okay.
Oh, really?
Thank you. Yeah. It's this one. Okay.
Close enough.
All right. That might be better. So anyway, the whole point is that you know that if you seek refuge in these specific places,
mm-hmm.
that you have a chance at that time toward liberation, and something's possible. You are not escaping, you are going toward something. So remember, this is your emergency pack. What emergency pack do you have? Do you actually have an emergency pack in this regard?
Simon Templar is saying, it's a planned strategy, not a desperate reaction.
We're not hearing you either, Dan.
Yeah,
you're
really low.
You didn't come through.
I didn't come through.
No.
Wow. Can you hear me now?
That's,
yeah,
now you
speak a little bit.
Okay. Simon Templar is saying it's a planned strategy, not a desperate reaction.
Right.
Okay. Fundamentally different. Read the HBM and you'll get it. HBM very clearly says that human existence, or chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self, talks about reaction to stuff, that's called emotion, and that's called hiding, that's trying to escape the pressure of the clear light, versus seeking refuge. Seeking refuge, because I know if I do that, something will happen. Okay? I know that my existence is in a truly safe place. Truly. Not an escapist place. Keep reading. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan. Read the next paragraph, sentence.
If I can only ask for help sincerely without...
What? What do you say, Ivan?
He said, if I can only ask for help sincerely. Is that what you mean?
Have you thought about that? Can you sincerely ask for help? Now, the context here is very important because we are not in reactive mode, where someone's saying, oh gosh, you know, I really need to do this, why don't you help me? No, this is sincere. So it comes from a sincerity of being that you ask for help. This is the true question. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
If I can only ask for help sincerely, without holding back or feeling pain due to my intense pride, I can attain liberation by taking refuge in those who guide the teaching.
That's it? Chambers, gee, that's great. Too short. Did we get our money's worth?
Yes, for sure.
Well, what I noticed is that we've gone, well, we passed a while back, but we've gone from I am one, there is no other, to I take refuge in the company of the Brotherhood of Spiritual Souls.
So look at where you are and accessing something. I'm gonna throw out a little challenge here. I don't know how clean I am in saying it, but when we take refuge in the Sangha, in the Brotherhood of fellow workers, we are working in high gold. This is high effort at that time. And Khalil Gibran, he says, when you go to meet with a friend, don't do it to kill time. You go because it's the best thing. It's the second line of work. Work with others. And yes, so then we tend to avoid because, oh, well, they have this characteristic or that characteristic. No, these are your brother voyagers, brothers and sisters in the work.
Simon Templar has a question.
Okay.
Why would... I'll read it the way he says, why would be pride in that moment or situation? Pride of what?
Well, I couldn't hear her.
Oh. Pride on admitting that you might need help, so you need to be humble, and maybe the humbleness is not there because the pride is there. So the pride of it's the pride of thinking we know it all, but now we don't, and we need to ask for help. Also, to ask someone else for help, it's like surrender to someone else. It's like giving up oneself in some ways to ask for help. That's all I see.
Well done. Well said. It's this action of surrender that is almost impossible for us. Very difficult.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that that is probably one of the habits that will carry us through. I'm not. Am I broadcasting now?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that that is probably one of the habits that will carry us through.
One of the habits of what?
That will carry us through.
Okay.
If we can ask for help. That habit. But look at the mechanics of that habit. And as Penny is telling us, if there's an action of surrender. First of all, when you're really in the sublime space of the essential self in a fine invocation, there is no ego. It's just there. You're in presence at that moment. There's no blistering ego like we see here that we grimly hold on to. It's, there's a surrender already. And if you can stay there, you can just... Then you're just naturally going to say, you know what, I don't really know how to do it when we get to that place. I don't know what to do when I'm there. Oh, I see. Maybe you can try this. This is what I try when I'm there. But how do you enter into that commerce with one another? to pick up the phone every once in a while and speak to each other. Simon called me, or he arranged it last week sometime, or maybe it was a week ago, a couple weeks ago, and we got on the phone. We were on for a while. I don't know what it was, a couple hours, hour and a half. It was very vibrant. A lot came out of that. But it doesn't happen in your little, in our little silo of personal existence. When we open up and we're with one another, then something's possible.
Simon Templar says, giving up oneself, that is a crucial moment that has come before. And then he thanks Michelle for her answer.
It is a crucial moment. And it has happened before. We have explored that condition. And like I think it was last, was it last week? You weren't here. That we got into is that, and we got into the space. Now, here was the mechanics that we used at that time. I'm just going to tell you what I did. The space was already sublime. This is last week. And then I said, be still. Because of the quality of the space, I was able to say that for the particular meaning. And then I said, shh, be quiet. Stillness and silence. And in that space, we could tell there was no blistering ego there. It was just, we had given up the self at that time. So the emergency kit is available to us. And we can pull on it all day long. But I just say that there's a great mystery in this concept of, you know, can you ask for help? And I say just hold that as a koan until it starts to bleed through and it's like a hot molten iron in your belly.
I think I'm going to write these lines down on a card and put them in my purse for, you know, how they were in case of emergency, you know, to be able to pull them out. Because for me, it really sums up a practical approach, not only in the afterlife, but also in the daily life.
I have kind of a grim, paranoid attitude toward life. I drive down to Sacramento. I have clients and stuff down there. So I'm on the freeway, right, going down Highway 80, and the traffic is moving at between 70 and 75, 80 miles an hour. I mean, it's clocking along. If you try to go 55, they just shove you off the road. So just to be in the game, you're at 70, okay? And if you're hot, you're 80. That's that whole other group. So at 70 miles an hour, think of a small mistake and what the effect would be. So I'm sitting here driving down the road, and I'm thinking, yeah, that guy slides into me, or what if my tire blows? And I just go and, you know, maybe I flip over into the next lane and I'm sitting there, I'm lying on the tarmac and I'm all, you know, last minutes of life. What would I do? Well, I know what I would do. because if I could voice it, I'd say reach into my back right pocket and pull out that piece of paper and just read it. So I too have it written down, because I don't know if I'll be able to have any conception, but if I have even a EMT worker sitting over me, hovering over me, patching me together,
mm-hmm.
and they're reading the clear light, I know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a escape mechanism for me. It is a refuge pathway. So be surprised. Surprise yourself. Write something like this down, put it in your purse, put it in your pocket, and you reach in to grab something, and, oh, what's this? You look at it and you go, wow, oh yeah, that.
Mm-hmm.
What a crack up. So, really very interesting chamber, isn't it? This thing about dynamically asking for help,
boy, oh boy,
that's a toughie. Because we're not talking about whining and complaining. That's human. We're talking about a whole other level of working together. But it says right there, we've got a teacher that's here. The dynamic teaching we're working with often. I mean, there's a group on Sundays. In the middle of the night, these Spaniards come on there, and practical work on self. I guess it's like 8 or 9 at night for them, right? Because they're in Spain. And we're at noon in Second Life. And so now I suggested, does somebody else want to co-lead the class with me? And so this Lisa Stricia said she would do that. So I went and I figured, I only know her as a person in that Second Life chamber. I don't know who this is. But I looked her up on her Facebook. I went on Facebook and I looked her up. She's like a first level teacher and drama teacher and a pro. I don't know if it's a university or what, but it's like, this is professional level people. And so, you know, pretty interesting. So for her, so, and for like someone like Carmen, who fulfills a post, we talked about that, holding a post. What does that mean? Well, Dan, I mean, I don't know what you do during the day, but for some grim reason, shows up every Wednesday night and somehow sits at this computer. I don't know if he wants to come, but it's no longer a matter of wanting, right? Doesn't something else kick in at a certain point? Not that I want to come. Just what he does. So think of ways and means to access that those four refuge is that are spoken of there. How are you going to access them tomorrow?
Vidara says, I have used these phrases during a period of tragedy, and they helped guide me through.
If they help guide you through, it helps put you in a position where you have the magnificent stance of objectivity in a space like that, that you may therefore be help to others also. It's like you're a beacon You become a beacon at that place. So there's a tragedy and everybody's freaking out. You become the beacon. So that's what you can do. You can access that space, and then others can be assisted. We're going to have one straight reading of the chamber, and how you doing over there? You want to read? Can you read it? Let's see if she wants to. Set the phone up for her.
Testing.
That's it. It was on. 39.
Chamber. Even those individuals grimly holding on to the game of planetary existence can still be liberated, even here, if they will only listen to the emergency method of instruction. For those below, any hope of liberation. I'll guide my thoughts along this path. I take refuge in the clear light. I take refuge in the beloved. I take refuge in the way of the teaching. I take refuge in the company of the brotherhood of spiritual souls. If I can only ask for help sincerely, without holding back, or feeling pain due to my intense pride, I can attain liberation by taking refuge in those who guide the teaching.
No new comments.
Why don't we end on that point? Sublime. Thank you all for coming again.
And wonderful evening. I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
Same time, same place, same book.
And what a wonderful blessing for the end of the year.
Blessing for the end of the year. Good night.
Good night.
Whoops. Oh, turn the phone off.